You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Mary Rodwell. Mary is an RN and the founder and principal of Australian Close Encounter Research Network, otherwise known as ACERN. And since 1994, Mary has worked in private practice as a professional counselor, hypnotherapist, metaphysical teacher, researcher, author, Reiki master, and global speaker. Mary is recognized internationally as one of Australia's leading researchers in the UFO and contact phenomenon. I was blessed with being able to see her live in Los Angeles not too long ago, and she has a lot to share. She's also the author of Awakening and producer of New Mind Records, which is a series of meditation and relaxation CDs, which you can find at that address, www.newmindrecords.com. And her website, which is presently having some difficulties loading, that are being fixed, is www.acern.com.au. So let's welcome Mary to the show now. Hi, Mary. How are you?
Hi, Lance. It's wonderful to speak with you. It's a hot and steamy afternoon in Queensland.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we had hail and snow a couple of days ago, and it's still on the ground. So I guess it goes to show that we're living in a multidimensional world.
Well, we now, certainly are.
You know, no kidding. In fact, that's kind of the theme of tonight, because you've done extensive research on the ET and phenomenon, which is much bigger than we realize, and probably bigger than even anybody knows presently that's here. And you're also working on a book on the Star Kids, which I think is fascinating, because the New Kids in China came out many years ago, and that just caught my attention right away. And so I guess that we have some areas that we can cover. How many various ET races are you aware of being present and active in humanity's past?
I think that's a hard one to answer, Lance, because we're not privy to what we call the shadow governments and agencies that know about and have had interactions with these beings, obviously way before even Roswell. You know, if you go right back, we you know, the sense is that even the Nazis were working with various species. But what I will say this is, many people believe that, you know, there's only a few races of greys, for example. Well, I was told by one lady that she was aware of 165 species of grey.
Wow.
That's just the greys, and about three different species of reptilians or Dracos, and of course many different humanoids. We've got cat beings, different types of felines, lion beings, energy beings, mantid beings, and there seems to be various groups of mantid as well, different with different roles on top of that. And everything that you can possibly imagine is maybe part of this matrix that we're interacting with, because the understanding that I have now is not all of them are extraterrestrial. Some of them are terrestrial that are actually inhabiting this place with us. And that appears to be some of the greys and some of the reptilians. But we also have interdimensionals interacting with us, and very likely some beings from our future. That is just, you know, part of the matrix that I'm trying to wrap my head around, and what makes it so complicated.
Oh, yes. It gets very confusing, because then when you add time travel and parallel dimensions and quantum physics into that, it gets kind of it gets a little bit confusing, but one thing that seems fairly clear is that with all the research about 2012 and the coming shifts and so on and so forth, that we are moving into the direction of a multidimensional awareness. Have you seen that as well?
I think it's really important, and it certainly needs to happen within ufology and this phenomena that we you know, it's been very important to focus on what we call the nuts and bolts of ufology, you know, the tangible physical evidence of the reality. And I think that has been extremely important to give people a sense of, you know, that aspect of the 3D world, But what we've also learned and have to acknowledge is that this is multidimensional in nature, that there are many experiences that you can't quantify in third dimensional terms, because many of my clients have out of body experiences that go on board the craft. Some have experienced near death experiences. They may believe they're hybrids, dual consciousness, walk-ins. They may have experience, you know, spiritual experience tied in with this as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it is, you know, that aspect now that we need to get a handle on and understand that we live, as the scientists are now telling us, the quantum universe, you know, that we are actually, if we look into quantum mechanics and whatever, we understand now there may be many dimensions, parallel realities, different timelines. And, you know, the list goes on down this rabbit hole. So we have to start looking at that and find ways to understand it from those levels as well.
Right. And what makes it particularly difficult for most humans that are on the planet is the shadow government and the groups and cabals that are controlling the information flow that have not let much of anything out about their research. We know that there's a secondary space program or an advanced technological society that has transcended ours and that is coexisting with ours without being visible. And so there is a lot going on. I talked to one researcher who told me that from the inside that free energy has already been around for a while. And the corporations are using it and so on and so forth. And that I said, well, do you see any time when it will be released to the rest of us, to humanity? And he said, that will never happen. So apparently there's some rather selfish people behind the curtain that are kind of keeping things under wraps. But I don't think that's going to stop us. Because as you say, as you research, here are all the new kids with abilities that don't need technology, right?
Well, this is their technology is in their spiritual awareness and their multidimensional abilities, where actually technology is obsolete.
Right.
Is, you know, the bottom line is that if you can affect matter, then in itself, you know, why do you need any kind of technology if you can create, if you through thought? And, you know, one of the fascinating things when I spoke to a 9-year-old, I was actually speaking to his father about his experiences, and the 9-year-old said he wanted to speak to me. And I said, what is it that you know, why is it you feel you need to speak to me? Well, he said, it's because of your frequency. Which was interesting. It was, you know, very clear. It wasn't because I looked okay. It was my frequency. And he said, and a lot of them have memory of the technologies from their past lives. And he said, my last past life was on Orion. I worked on technologies to do with time travel technologies. And I was a light physicist.
Wow.
And he said, the problem on this planet is that there are many scientists here that wouldn't even begin to understand the it from my perspective, other than, he said, Tesla. And he said, Tesla is, if you like, a baseline for what I understand. Now, this is the quality of these new kids coming in. Many of them have past life memories and have memories of how they did things. When a 16-year-old in the US told me that he could build interstellar craft, and I said, how do you know how to do that? Is that a download or you've been taught on the spacecraft? He said, oh, no. He said, I used to build them when I used to live on Mars. So You know, they're bringing in this information from their other lifetimes with often, you know, almost total recall. And this is what, you know, the shadow governments are really aware of, and that are doing their best to see how much they can intimidate or shut.
Right.
Going on, and the fear programs that are going on this planet to shut these beautiful souls down. And, you know, I can't, you know, I've come to the conclusion that whatever happens, as a 9-year-old in Europe said to me, you know, that when you go to school, they program you out of your light. And she said that at least 50% of the planet is star seeds now, but maybe at least 20% will retain the information so that they can actually start with their mission, which is to raise, you know, consciousness on this planet.
Well, yes. I mean, I remember being in school, and it was quite a while ago, and I just found it extremely boring. I just could never get past the repetitiveness, and I thought, well, what's the purpose of all this stuff? So when I started reading about star seeds and indigos and all the rest of that, I met an elderly gentleman who had written a number of articles, and he said, oh, yeah, they've been incarnating here for hundreds of years. It's not just, you know, the last 50 or 60. Mm-hmm. So there may be some grandparents out there that are, you know, star kids, and bringing in the next generations for the necessary shifts to transform this into a peaceful planet.
I believe you're absolutely right, Lance. And I will say that I was in Scandinavia. I did Denmark, Norway, and Sweden in September, October, and I realized there was a real blanket on this material, and allowing people to even talk about this, it was almost like it was better that you were a sexual predator than being an experiencer. Yeah. It was that, you know, that controlled. And I met an 80-year-old in Norway, and I was a bit wondering whether my material was a little bit too out there for this very contained society. And I had a number of people after the presentation in tears, and one of them was an 80-year-old lady, and she came up to me and she said, everything you've spoken about with these qualities of star kid, she said, that's me, and it's been me all my life, and you're the very first person that's put it all together. And she said, and I actually can speak, communicate with animals. I'm a farmer's wife. And nobody could understand how I could call the sheep in with my mind. And she said, I feel like I've sort of come in a bit too early. And I said, well, I suspect you've come in to help get the ball rolling. And, right, you know, you're part of the bridge to this new consciousness. And we had to have some of the ones in that generation. I'm certain we've had, you know, last 100 years particularly, I think, you know, a lot of those that say, well, is that me? And I'm saying, of course. It's just that each generation has been a slight upgrade from that. But some of us had to come in to start the ball rolling.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Well, you certainly are doing more than that with your life. So I'm sure there's no accident in your being here. I really like the stories that you share about children and the reports from other people around the world. Can you share some of the stories that are more that people would enjoy hearing that demonstrate what's going on around the world, so we get an idea?
Well, the fascinating thing for me is, despite the fact that I don't speak in other languages in my presentations, I do hear from families all over the world, from everywhere, from South America to Africa to Asia, who are, and often the parents talking about the children, and the fact that the children are a lot more conscious of their experiences than a lot of the adults are. Children that talk about going on spacecraft and learning on spacecraft, going and saying they go to other planets, including Mars, describing, you know, what they see on Mars, for example, and what kinds of things they're taught. These are the kinds of, you know, it's like they're given a whole new extraterrestrial education. With that, I think, in mind, that's going to help us. One of the interesting ones is a 17-year-old that, he contacted me when he was 16. He calls himself an ambassador from Arcturus. Mm-hmm. He actually speaks Arcturian, and his mission, he said, is to create a environments that match in with the planet, that are in harmony with the planet. So he's come in as almost an environmental housing engineer from Arcturus, and he's quite happy to speak the languages, and he knows he's an ambassador, for example. I mean, these are very interesting things to come from, you know, not only the children, but the young adults that are aware of their star seeds. One of the hardest things that they're finding, one was an Indian gentleman. Well, he's not quite he's in his 20s now, but he said, "Mary, I knew I was a star seed all my life, but my culture," he said, "still believes they're all gods." And he said, "What do you do?" He said, "I can't say, well, I'm a star seed and they're not gods. They're actually, we're all, you know, coming from the stars." And and his problem is dealing with his culture that doesn't understand that, you know, has all these beliefs which are all related to the gods. And he feels very isolated with that kind of understanding, for example, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but one of the interesting things I will tell you is one 9-year-old was telling me she'd got information from two of her guides, she calls them. One's a blue being that she calls Imoko, and she said that Imoko is one of those, one of them's actually a green being, and she said they teach, she calls them her friends, and she said, I was given 7 books, and she described not really books, but information, and the red book is about creation and its origins, the brown one's about different planets and the life there. The green one, she says, is about nature and how we can make contact with plants and animals and understand nature. The dark green one is one about the body and how it really works and how we get to evolve. The blue one's about light and truth. And the red brown one, she says, she can't open because a dragon took the key in the 1700s. And the black book is about darkness and evil. And she's saying she can also speak 3 star languages, and one of them can heal water. So in other words, the frequency of what she's speaking, she and her mother, who's a teacher, says you can taste the difference, Mary. Wow. So here is someone who is aware that she has an ability to change the nature of water. And of course, Masaru Emoto, the Japanese scientist, proved that water can be altered in terms of its crystalline nature through frequency, through music, through prayer, through intent. So really, we've got the children saying, I can fix it. And I can fix it because I know what I need to do that. And healing is one of the major things that keeps coming out from the children. Their ability to tune into energies, see energy forms, to see illness, and to know what to do to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is what I mean, is that they're taking this to a whole level where they're not saying, I need this technology to do it. They're saying, we can do it. We know how to do it.
Wonderful.
And that's the difference.
Wow. Well, we're certainly going to need all of these people, kids, children, beings of light in the near future, because the old paradigms are not working, and the medical industry is pretty much corrupted, and it's all based on killing and death, and, you know, there's nothing harmonious about it, and the expense is killing people. And then you have the big pharmaceutical industries tied into that. And all of these different mega corporations are just not going to bend because they're making too much money. And so we need these kids to show us the way, and to show us a different way, that we could do it another way.
And this is exactly it, because we know that those in power are never going to release their hold on society as they have it today. There's nothing to gain from them by owning the fact they know about free energy, that they know that we don't need to die of all these illnesses, for example, that we have the ability to go interstellar. all these things that they have known about for many, many years, as early as perhaps, you know, the 40s or 50s, from the way that, from what I'm hearing from a lot of the whistleblower material. And of course, you mentioned Dr. Stephen Greer's latest presentation on what's being kept from the public and whatever. 4 hours of really interesting data, and some of it certainly matches in with my research in terms of, you know, how they've conned the public and how they've used, you know, ridicule primarily and propaganda to frighten people who are having experiences. And I think this is where I've got my biggest angst, to be honest, is because I've met so many individuals that have ended up being medicated or in hospital because, you know, the medical profession and the psychological professions do not yet realize or know the truth, unless they've had experiences themselves. And I've met a few clinical psychologists and a few psychiatrists that have our experiences, and it's very difficult for them because they know within their field that how this is misunderstood. And that is, for me, one of the greatest harms it's done to humanity, is how, you know, so many people have lived in isolation, fear, or medication because of this dark agenda to keep this from humanity, the most important thing that we need to know about ourselves.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, we know almost nothing of our planetary history going back more than, say, 2,000 years, and even that's pretty shoddy, and it's been rewritten so many times that who's to say what, if anything, can be trusted in it. But you mentioned the whistleblowers, and I have had Andrew Vajago on the show a couple of times, and he talks about the time travel programs that were occurring when he was a teenager, and that DARPA, the Defense Research Institute that comes up with advanced new weapons and things to kill us, the enemy, was funded by the Vatican. So the Vatican has its hands in all of this stuff, and they probably are even more aware than most of the ET connections, because they've openly come out and talked about it. And with their history of gathering information and then concealing it, I would guess that they're pretty well informed.
Oh, I think they're up there with all of the covert agencies. Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And again, you know, when you suddenly, you know, when you come, you realize the hypocrisy and the lies that come from organizations that are supposed to be there for our spiritual benefit, it is very hard to have any kind of belief or faith in, you know, the various organizations and churches and religions when you see how they've been manipulated. And and you know, it's that's a very big tunnel to go down. And as a former Catholic, I'm they'd probably be putting me on the stake if it was a few hundred years ago now, and I would be eliminated, I suspect, from, you know.
Yeah, probably. I think we may have been in the past life as well. You know, it's funny that you should mention that, because one of the things that most people are unaware of that I have been watching over the years is the information about the existing Mars base. That there's actually a Mars base now. It has been there for quite a while. And Laura Eisenhower, who is the great-granddaughter of Ike, the president, former president, talks openly about having been asked by the you know, groups that keep all of this close to their chest, if she wanted to go there during the potentially catastrophic times. And she said, no, I'm staying on Earth, and I'm going to make the changes that are necessary and raise the vibration. Mm-hmm. So, and then Bajago talked about his time travel experiences going to Mars, and then there was further confirmation that Dick Cheney is head of the Mars Corporation. And then the other thing that Dr. Lear pointed out in an interview was that the moon has a dual surface, that the surface that we see, which is Pach, is the one that's always facing us, and it's a false surface. The other side is a natural surface, and it's organic, and it's very similar to Earth. And he said that the corporations have been mining there for decades, and that they have these huge machines digging in the ground and spitting out the gravel 24 hours a day. So the corporations are mining our local planets. Who knows what other worlds they have access to through interdimensional travel and cooperation with various other ET races.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, there's so many pictures on the net now of the anomalies on the Mars surface and ancient civilizations, obviously, there as well. What was interesting for me many, many years ago, before Andrew Bisaggio and others came out with this whole thing, was I did a regression with the mother wanted me to do this with a 13-year-old girl who was having experiences. And one of the things that came out of the blue, first of all, finding out about her experiences, was that she said, I'm on a planet, she said, and it's red. And she said, and I am seeing the American flag. And she said, and there are beings under the surface.
Uh-huh.
And it was, this is in late 90s now, the 1990s.
Wow.
13-year-old child. Knows nothing about the anomalies on the moon, face on there, and all the rest of it. And here she is coming out with detailed information like that. And at the time, you know, it was all very new, the face on Mars and all the rest of it. And here's a 13-year-old saying this. Since then, there has been a number of the children, 7-year-olds, that have said they've gone up on spacecraft and gone to the moon. They've seen domes on the moon. They've mm-hmm. been taught with other children that are not human, and actually describing in detail. And in my recent presentations, and I'll be talking more about the details in my book, about how 2 7-year-old girls saw various symbols and actually confirmed with each other without them knowing these same symbols they both saw on the spacecraft when they went on this spacecraft to the moon. So,
wow.
You know, when you've got 7-year-olds coming out with this kind of material, something they shouldn't know anything about, talking about hybrids, talking about what they learn on the craft, that some of the children in the spacecraft aren't human. You know, this is 7-year-olds we're talking about. You know, most of them are still, you know, with Barbie dolls and whatever. And yet they're talking about the concepts of being taught things from a galactic perspective.
Wow.
You know,
that's wonderful.
You know, quite incredible.
Well, you know, you can't shut the kids up, can you? But, you know, the parents do. You know, this is what seems to be a big stumbling block for us, because we are so programmed, actually technologically, there are devices that are being used by various governmental agencies to dumb us down and to program us and to keep us from thinking about these things. And, you know, so it's really funny that you have kids talking about these bases on other planets, and yet you can mention chemtrails to somebody and point up, and they can see them, and they say, oh, no, those don't exist. Those are contrails.
I think, you know, it is all about the conditioning, and that's what these children are saying about going to school and being conditioned or programmed out of their awareness and their knowledge. As you said, you were very bored. The truth is, they already know what they need to know. They're not there for us to teach them. It's actually about us learning from them. I mean, I've had a 9-year-old tell me that the moon is artificial, that there's mind control technologies on the moon and on Mars and on Orion, for example. And this is a 9-year-old telling me this and explaining to me it was part electronic, part biological, those kinds of things.
Wow.
So, you know, no 9-year-old normally knows these kinds of things. They don't go into conspiracy theories. I mean, I had
right.
another 9-year-old explain to me, you know, that he knew why President Kennedy, now this is an Australian boy of 9, why he got killed. You know, so they are not limited to their understanding of themselves and their past lives and their abilities. They are informed about what's going on this planet as well. And that is why they're considered such a problem for those, you know, that are wanting to keep the lid on all of this, because these kids know when they're lied to. They know when they're being conned.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And this is a real problem, isn't it? Because unless you muck up their abilities and their awareness, which they're trying to do from chemtrails to fluoride to a whole range of, you know, processed foods to the, you know, the conditioning and whatever, all of these, shutting them down is part of the you know, the program to stop this shift happening, which, you know, as far as I'm concerned, they're on a loser.
Yes, absolutely. And we're being assaulted on so many levels that it's really at the unconscious level that all of these things happen. And that you mentioned the fluoride and so on. There are also there's advanced weapons that are being developed. For instance, that I think Harold I can't remember his last name. He's a German researcher, but he has done a great deal of research into black goo, for instance, and smart dust and nanotechnology. And when you start finding out about these things, it really starts to become a frightening picture, because they're designed to basically inhabit and replicate and take over. And they're electronic, so they can be controlled by technology. But I think that there's too much that you are finding out and that many of us are finding out that demonstrates that there is a lot of there are a lot of powerful forces that are coming in, literally incarnating, and there are many that are not incarnate that are keeping an eye on us, that are helping out, and that they are going to help us create the shift in balance so that the scales will tip at some point. And the people who are presently trying to destroy and manipulate and dominate the planet will fail, ultimately will fail.
Oh, I'm certain that this, you know, they can't stem this tide, even though we'll know there'll be some that don't manage to get through because of all the protocols they've put out there. But if this young 9-year-old is right, and 50% of the planet has that potential, even if some of them have been shut down at the end of the day, we only, you know, if it's the 100th monkey kind of scenario, we only need about 10% of the planet to really get a handle on things, and that's when we can really start changing things from multiple levels. I mean, some of their skills are and awareness are quite incredible. I mean, they're taught things like levitation and off-world, for example, and you know, the spatial geometry of thought and states of consciousness, how to interpret and interact with interdimensional and non-human intelligences. They have out-of-body training. You know, they have telekinesis abilities, you know, telepathy and mind melds, and they have a manifestation of directed thought and emotion, healing skills, and they have the true understanding of man's origins and time travel and teleportation, all these kinds of things, remote influencing. You know, these are the skills, some of the skills, and I think there's a great many more where, you know, how do you, you know, shut that down unless you literally exterminate half the planet?
Right.
So, you know, it's and when people say, well, you're very optimistic, Mary, you know, about all of this, how do you know? And I said, well, to me, it's why would all these new children coming in with all their abilities bother to come to a planet they knew was a waste of time? I mean, they wouldn't bother to even incarnate, would they? If they think, well, you know, what's the point? So for me, the fact that they are is telling us that they know that they can make a difference, that they can, you know, make this shift, even for, you know, if for a while it's going to be very difficult. I don't think they're under any illusions that it's going to be difficult. I think they all know that they volunteered to come to work really hard to make this shift happen. But at the end of the day, there'd be no point in incarnating on a planet where you were aware that wasn't actually going to make that shift, if you know what I mean. One of the interesting things from a 12-year-old said to his father when he was talking about his own planet and where he's from, I think it was Arcturus, he said to his father, humanity's been at this point three times, but we've been knocked off course. This time, there's a 95% chance we will make it, and possibly 100% chance as we're headed up to a higher level. It's slow, but in the last 3 years, his father said he's been getting more in tune and what have you. So he said, you know, this is what he's basically saying, is that he feels that we're going to get there this time, more or less, you know, certain that this consciousness shift is going to happen.
Well, so, it's certainly overdue.
Well, you know, the thing is, when people say, well, why do you put so much credence on the children? And I said, because they don't watch talk shows and they don't read books on this. This is has a clarity without the programming and the conditioning that, you know, so many older of us, you know, undoubtedly have. And we look through that particular lens, whereas these children, it has this purity. And that's why I give it credence. And that's why I listen to what they have to say.
Well, you know, it does seem that they're stepping up their attempts to get them early. For instance, I think babies now are given dozens of vaccinations when they're born, and then they're baptized. And so between those two things, you have, you know, a shield around the child's aura, and they're unable to connect with, you know, their own source. So... and the vaccinations are just horrifying because you're destroying the brain cells, and you're setting kids back. And not to mention that some of those vaccinations actually have live disease in it, and not the one that they're treating. So they must be really concerned that the kids are going to not make it through, because now the marketing is appealing to babies. You know, they're getting there early, and the commercials are, you know, geared towards not the 9, 10, 11, 12 year old crowd anymore. It's geared to the ones that are going to be eating when they get their teeth.
Oh, look, I mean, I was horrified that here in Australia, the latest protocols are to give, I think, I'm not sure whether it's hepatitis B or whatever it is, but it's a hepatitis, it's one against hepatitis on the very first day they're born. It's become mandatory.
Oh, geez. Terrible.
What can, you know, even with parents uninitiated into all the, you know, things that we are, how can you honestly... qualify that or in any way explain that is a necessity with a one-day-old child? I mean, as a former nurse, I'm just absolutely horrified this is going on now, you know?
Yeah. And
also now, of course, you're penalized in Australia if your children aren't vaccinated. You're not given any of the government benefits to go, you know, to help with childcare or anything. So you're losing, you know, hundreds of dollars, literally thousands of dollars in help with childcare if you don't get your child vaccinated. I mean, this is, you know, how can parents sit back and let that be passed, to accept that? How? To me, it is beyond belief.
Yes. And that goes back to our chat about the programming and the technological means that are being used to keep people dumbed down. It's not just the fluoride in the water, which was used in Nazi Germany, but speaking of fluoride, I was at Walmart the other day, and I saw that there was baby food with fluoride in it, and there was water with fluoride, and you know, for newborns. And so why would a child that was just born that has no teeth need fluoride? Well, because it calcifies the pineal gland, and once that's done, the rest of the glands don't function properly, and you've got somebody that can't think straight.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was asked by the dentist locally, did I want my teeth painted with fluoride? I said, you have got to be joking. I said, you're trying to paint my teeth with a neurotoxin. Thanks very much, but no thanks. Have you got any idea? And he was quite horrified by my response. You know, to be honest, I really don't need any help for myself to get Alzheimer's or anything else. Thanks very much. I certainly don't need any more slowing up.
Right.
My advanced years and all the rest of it, you know.
Right. Well, I have a personal story, and I'll try to make it short, because you did talk about the vaccinations being given to the babies, and it is a big issue and a hot topic, and we are being led down a garden path and being forced, because they're taking money away and they're passing laws to make it mandatory. But when I was in San Francisco, I was in my 20s, and there was a hepatitis B vaccination study that was going on through the local health clinic, and I thought it looked interesting. I thought, well, gee, you get free medical advice and care for so many years. And so I went ahead and I signed up for this hepatitis B vaccination study in 1982. Well, there were three vaccinations that were to occur at the precise time each month, and then blood was drawn. Well, I saw my doctor for about 6 years after that, and in the third year, he let it slip out that he said, well, we know when you seroconverted to HIV positive because the first tube was negative. And the I was not particularly active at that time, so there's no way that I could have contracted anything on my own. And later, I had a friend who did a lot of research on it, and he said, oh, yeah, didn't you know that the World Health Organization had a program going in New York and San Francisco to get rid of the less desirables, and they included HIV in the vaccination. So
yeah,
you don't know what you're getting in those. And Bayer in the UK sent out tainted vaccinations that were to be going to children that had live HIV virus in it because they didn't want to lose the money.
Yeah.
Absolutely no morals and no conscience.
Oh, you know, these are, you know, whoever is the one that finally orchestrates this, it's exactly right. There is no sense of any kind of integrity or any kind of ethics. It purely is, you know, power and greed and total lack of empathy for their fellow human. And, you know, when people say, well, all the ETs, look what they're doing, this, that, and the other, I said, I don't see anything they're doing that we're not doing worse.
Right.
As humans to humans, you know, especially some of these covert programs that we're aware of where, you know, what they're doing, you know, behind the scenes to humanity and what they have done. I mean, you go into all the Montauk Project, for example, and all the mind control with that, MK Ultra. You look into this, and it was very hard for me as a researcher to, you know, come across individuals that, you know, experiences that had both ET and, you know, the whole MyLab experiences, and their trauma was 100 times worse through the MyLab human, you know, human military abductions than ever they'd experienced via the ETs. And, you know, the trauma was so much more severe. And this is us doing it to our, you know, our own species.
Oh, yeah.
And we have, you know, and we have the cheek to take the high moral ground with other species that are, to my, and I'm certain that some of them are self-serving, but I think there are a great many, without doubt, you know, are here to help us wake up. And to realize we're not alone. Not only are we not alone in the universe, but we've got a lot of growing up to do, and so that we don't end up destroying ourselves and destroying this beautiful planet, which is our home.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know, the sad part about it is that with the quality of the food being degraded over the last few decades and becoming mass manufactured, there's almost no nutrition in it whatsoever. So there's no nutrients in the food. And then people now are taught to microwave everything, which kills any subtle nutrients that might have been there in the first place. And so we're really getting assaulted. And so people that have no nutrients and no good air, for, you know, from the chemtrails and the rest of it, and the water's polluted with fluoride and other pollutants, then basically we become functionally like the Walking Dead.
Mm.
You know, my mother was an alcoholic, And she functioned until she was in her 60s, and she was a hard drinker, a wonderful person, empathic, and an artist. Mm. And when they did the autopsy, they said, well, we opened her skull up, and when the scalpel touched the brain, it just literally crumbled. And so people can live and walk around and have almost no functioning in the brain. And I think that's something that we're seeing today, because it certainly appears that people are led like cattle to their own destruction, going to work every day, afraid of their bosses and punching the time clock and paying their taxes in corporations that have no concern whatsoever for them, other than gaining more control over the planet and destroying us so that they can have the whole planet to themselves.
I think that's more and more people, thankfully, are waking up and realizing this now, despite the fact that we're all kept on the treadmill as much as possible and in debt for as long as possible to keep us, you know, in line and to keep us from questioning. And, you know, and with all the stuff that's on the television, which is really, you know, fear programs. Mm-hmm. I mean, I call the news the doom and gloom show. Because that's exactly what it is. It's there. It's doom and gloom, and it's more about fear than anything else. But all of these things, I think, despite that, whatever's happening with these upgrades, these new generations coming in, you know, and parents that are becoming more and more aware, who are questioning, that's what I'm seeing now. More and more people awake to understanding this is going on and bailing from the system as much as possible. So many are going it alone, going into rural communities, being self-sufficient, realizing more and more about the food and how we need to have pure water, et cetera, et cetera. This is a movement that is happening globally. And, you know, and ultimately, I think this is exactly what will change what's going on.
Yes, I'm in total agreement with you, and it seems that we're kind of at the tipping point now, because a friend of mine that's been on the show quite a few times, Julian, now I'm blanking out. Anyway, Julian Rose has written books about this in defense of life, and he has an estate that is doing organic farming, and in Poland, apparently, the EU is trying to come in and get the Polish farmers to give up their farms, and they're enforcing more extreme sterility codes, and you have to have this in a steel tank, and this and that and the other thing. And these people have been farming there for hundreds and maybe thousands of years, and they can't keep up, and they don't have the money to spend on this equipment. So there's a major battle going on, and he has managed to, with the help of this coalition, to keep GMOs, we hadn't mentioned that yet, being banned in Poland. But the EU is pushing back and making inroads. So it does look like we have a little rocky road ahead of us. But I agree with you totally that we have to be aware. We cannot put our heads in the sand, and we need to see those things that we really don't want to look at and then take action and not just talk about it.
I think it is about that. I think it's all very well being aware, but unless we pull together and connect with one another to, you know, get them to listen, it is power to the people, really. We've seen that with social media, how we've been, you know, people have managed to make a difference. But it's got to be enough people doing it. There's got to be enough people that get out of their chair and say, this is not okay. I think we're being pushed to that limit now on every level, with our food, with how we're being controlled, with, you know, our health, with our schools. Everything now is controlled. And if anybody believes they live in a free society, I just think they need to go and see someone, because there is no way in hell we're in a free society.
Right.
Because we're controlled from, you know, cradle to grave.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And ultimately, you know, utterly.
Absolutely. It's so nice to hear somebody that just knows this and that's talking about it, because, you know, we really have to have these dialogues so that people don't feel like they're going crazy. You know, there are people that are just finding out about some of this stuff, and, you know, I hope that this show helps validate them and helps to empower them to continue their research and finding out what's really going on. We've got about 6 minutes left, and I thought maybe if you had any special things that you'd like to share with the listeners tonight, or any stories that you'd like to... Oh, one thing I wanted to ask you. Why did that kid say that Kennedy was killed? Did he ever tell you?
It was all part of the conspiratorial side of this planet, that he didn't actually say what was the reason behind it, than he was assassinated.
Okay, I think
And he was assassinated not by who we think it was.
I think Dr. Greer covers that.
it's just interesting that you know, around what I'm saying is, and one of the things that was interesting in my conversation with this 9-year-old in Europe, she said, Mary has big ears. And I asked what she actually meant by that. And she said, well, Mary listens and most adults don't. And she's really wanting us as parents to realize that when our children come out with information, whatever it is, like this, to listen to them, because they do understand. They are being taught on another level. There are such things as space schools where they're taught everything from black holes to the origin of the species. And I remember an 8-year-old when he said, he told me he was using his brain waves in a group on the craft with a couple of school friends and other children that didn't look quite human. He said their eyes were different. And I said, so what kinds of things were did you talk about? He said, it's very complex. And I said, well, could you tell me? He said, no. He said, it's too complex for you. So I was put in my place well and truly. And he's probably right if it's anything to do with quantum physics anyway. But
right.
The bottom line is that he was quite aware that it was too complex for me to understand.
Wow.
Which on one level is you know, quite interesting. Uh-huh. And what I'd like to say is that just be aware. These kids are everywhere now. You know, those beautiful little babies you see in the pram, you know, that look up at you, and they look up at you with a knowing and an awareness. You can see it in their eyes. You can see the intelligence. They're everywhere. And then, you know, they are often, a lot of the children are misdiagnosed with various conditions because they're different. They behave differently. That's only because they're different programs and they see reality differently. And we've got to understand that it's not faulty genes. It's just new programs for this planet to get us to understand more of the nature of reality, because they're perceiving so much more than we are. Mm-hmm. And that's what the book is really explaining, is why these programs are coming in and what they're teaching us, whether it's ADHD, Asperger's, whether it's to do with certain forms of autism or dyslexia. They are seeing reality in a new way, a way that we have to learn about, not the other way around. Mm-hmm. And that's what I will be writing about. And I have good, you know, some really good background of individuals where I've got two scientists that actually talk about what that is and the fact that we are, in fact, changing as a species. So, you know, I've got really good information from a scientific perspective, as well as a more multidimensional metaphysical perspective on how we are changing as a species. And I'm calling the book The New Human, because actually that's what they are. They're new humans, and we can give them many names, whether it's crystals, indigos, children of light. There's lots of beautiful names for them. But actually, you know, for me, ultimately, it really just says that we as a species now are waking up and growing into our real potential as a species. And finally, we're going to know who we really are, whether or not the governments in the end of the day want to tell us or not. We will know.
Right. We'll find out by going around them. Mary, when is your book coming out? Do you have an idea yet?
I would love to have an idea, but I promise everyone who's interested, I do hope to have it at least completed, you know, in 2016. But when, It depends on how many people leave me alone to write it, and how limited, you know, as long as I don't go to too many conferences and do too much travel,
there
I might actually get round to completing it. So that's the plan anyway. So I'll ask the universe to give me a bit of peace and quiet, or create a couple of Mary clones. So one and two will be good so that I can get on with it. So we'll see what happens.
Well, wonderful. Well, I'm going to segue off the show because we're out of time. So you can just hit the book. And
thank you.
I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight. You are just an amazing person, and I just really appreciate the work you're doing. And I'd like to read the book and plan on it, and we can have another fireside chat sometime in 2016, I hope.
I'll look forward to it, Lance, and thank you so much for inviting me and for all the beautiful work that you're doing in putting this information out there.
Oh, thanks a lot. Well, good night, everybody.